Well, we are going to talk about that amazing grace this morning. It is truly amazing. And I hope that you understand what grace is. I want to start out with that. Grace is God's unmerited love towards us. We don't deserve His grace. We don't deserve His love. In fact, what we deserve, according to the Bible, is to go to hell, right? But Jesus reached down. He died on that cross for us. And what we're doing in preparation for Resurrection Sunday, we are going through the seven sayings of Christ while He was on the cross. And if we look at those seven sayings today particularly, we're going to see the gospel in all its glory. We're going to see the love that Jesus has for everyone. And it's going to tell us so much about who He is, what He came for, and what He wants us to do. So I want to paint the picture before we get into our verses. Jesus is crucified. On either side of Him is a thief who deserved to be there, a thief who was a sinner on either side. But we're going to see what happened in the life of that one thief, the one who repented, the one who accepted the word of grace today, and you're going to see that Jesus reached out to him at the height of his suffering and saved him. There's great books written on grace. There's thick books. You can fill a library with books written on grace. You can go to the Bible. You can read wonderful theological discourses on what grace is. We're going to look at a couple of those today. But I think this story in the Bible gives us the purest story of grace and how it's applied as any story in the Bible. So understand, this man, this thief, both of them, had lived horrible lives. The government wanted to make an example of them, so they were going to crucify them. And understand, on the top of their cross was nailed thief. So when people walked by, they would see thief. They would know what these people were being crucified for. So you have one thief on the left, his charge thief. One thief on the right, his charge thief. And in the middle, you have Jesus Christ, his charge Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. True, right? So all day long, these thieves are there. They didn't just get hung there with him. They marched up this road, the way of the dead, as they walk up from the prison that they were held in. They walk up the hill. They're all carrying their crosses. And all through the day, these thieves, both of them, started out ridiculing Jesus, just like everybody else. They were making fun of him. They were saying, if you're really God, save yourself. We're going to look at those verses. But I want you to see grace today. I want you to see grace in the salvation of the thief. And before we start that, you know, I usually hear three or four objections to grace. Some people say, well, you know, it's too late for me. I've done too much. It's too late. I don't deserve it at this late date. Let me tell you, this thief that you're going to hear about today was minutes away from dying when Jesus gave him grace. So it destroys that argument. It's never too late. The Bible clearly says it's never too late. So if you're here today and you're thinking it's too late for me, no, it's not. You're going to see somebody in a much worse situation than you were in. Somebody minutes away from dying who God gave grace. Second objection we hear a lot is, well, you know, you don't really know what I've done in my past. I don't, but Jesus does. You think Jesus knew what those two fellows had done? Obviously so. He's with them. He's sitting there looking at their charges. He knows what they did. He would have known without the charges being posted because he's God. So that objection doesn't work either. And then the biggie is, I've got to do something to earn it. It can't just be free. Nobody gives away things for free. There's always a catch. What's the catch? Y'all ever heard that? Well, let me tell you this. This thief on the cross, he wasn't coming down. His whole life had been wasted in thievery. His whole life had been immoral. And he was not going to come down and redeem himself. He wasn't going to come down and do any good works. He wasn't going to come down and do community service. He wasn't going to come down and do mission work. He wasn't coming down, period. He had no chance to work. But I want you to hear the promise that Jesus gave to him. Jumping ahead a little bit. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So it's never too late. Don't worry about Jesus knowing some of the warts in your past. He knows them all and He still loves you. And you do not have to work for grace. You understand that? You do not have to work for grace. It is a gift. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 39. And as you're doing it, let me just remind you that God had prophesied from a long time ago that Jesus was going to be crucified between thieves. Remember, last week we looked at Isaiah 53, and part of that verse says, He was numbered with the transgressors. He was always destined to die with sinners. So this whole setup was prophesied years and years before, at least 772 years before. So when Pilate condemns Jesus to go hang on the cross with these two thieves, he is simply doing what God has foreordained was going to happen. And we don't know the names of these two thieves. You will meet one in heaven one day. And I hope you go up and you give him a hug and say, thank you for your testimony. Because there are people that come to saving knowledge of God through these two verses that we'll look at specifically today. Because it hits them. They realize, okay, this thief could not have done anything to save himself. But that's not how this thief started out. It started out, everybody around that cross was saying things like, he saved himself, or he saves others, but he cannot save himself. If he's the king of the Jews, let him come down. I'll believe in him then. Let him call angels down. Then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let's see what God does to him now, because he said he's the Son of God. You can just hear those people ridiculing. They were there for sport. They were there to watch the crucifixion. They wanted it to be as painful on Jesus as they could. And Matthew tells us in his gospel that even the two robbers who were with him reviled him also. So they're all in this mocking of Jesus. But they hang there. They sit there. And these two robbers, we already heard the first thing out of Jesus' mouth last week. The first thing he said while hanging on that cross was a prayer of forgiveness and a prayer that God would open the eyes of the blind, that they would see who Jesus really was, that they would see who God really is, and that they would approach God. So both thieves heard that. And they're there. Both thieves are sitting there listening to everybody ridicule Jesus. Both thieves see the same thing. They saw him be spat upon. They saw him be harassed. They saw his crown of thorns. They saw it all. And one of them got saved just from that. So stand, if you will. Let's read Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. And we're going to focus on verses 42 and 43, but this is the whole story. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You can be seated. You know, theologically, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God, not of works." So we know intellectually that salvation is a gift of God. We know the Bible teaches that there is nothing that we can do to earn grace. It is completely unmerited favor. But this picture of this one thief on the cross is really the picture of true grace. Because this thief could do nothing, had done nothing to earn salvation, but he accepted Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave him the assurance that he would spend eternity with him in heaven. But we see something in the life of this thief. Three things that have to accompany each and every acceptance of grace, that have to accompany the profession of faith that this thief made. So number one, there must be recognition of sin. In other words, we have to realize that we need a Savior. This thief hanging on the cross realized, you know what? I can't do anything to save myself. I am not getting off this tree. And if you look back at these verses, the one criminal said, you know, look, we receive the due reward of our own deeds. He acknowledged that he had done wrong. He acknowledged that he needed to be on that tree, that he deserved to be on that tree. And he went even further. He said, do you not even fear God to the other thief? This other thief had been ridiculing just like him. And you wonder, when in this did this one thief's heart change? We know that it was after Jesus prayed for forgiveness. Something happened in this man's heart. He said, you know what? I deserve to be here. This man doesn't. He's done nothing wrong, the Bible says. And he went from being part of the people who were ridiculing Jesus to part of the people that were standing there and there's like, he doesn't deserve this. I don't understand why you're doing this to the Son of God. But he realized his own sin. And we get to a point when we realize our own sin. We either say, I want help, or I don't. See, that thief had the same choice that the other one had. He could have simply said, I'm going to go on and I'm going to die in my sin. I'm going to go where I choose to go, and that's I'm going to go to hell. But he didn't want that. He wanted to be with Jesus. So he recognized his sin. He recognized that he could not do anything to help himself. If you guys remember when we went through the Beatitudes, Jesus said, you must be poor in spirit. You must be basically bankrupt and come to me with nothing. And when you come to me with nothing, I will give you grace. What else did he have? This man had nothing. He was at rock bottom, as we would say. And Romans 3:8 tells us, with most people, there is no fear of God. 3:18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. But something happened in this man. His heart was open, his eyes were open, and he understood that he was a sinner, and he understood that he had the ability to pray out to God, just like the poor tax collector in the back of the church did. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted God's grace for the first time in his life. So he cried out. He said, I am a sinner. That's the first thing that we have to do in order to receive God's grace. Because, you know, Jesus said, I came to heal the sick. The healthy don't need a doctor. People who think they're okay, people who think they don't have any sin in their lives, don't turn to Jesus Christ. People who think they're going to make do on their own merit, their good deeds outweigh their bad, they're better than their neighbor, whatever you want to phrase it like, those people don't ever turn to Jesus Christ because they don't think they need him. This thief realized, I need him, and I am a sinner. The second thing that has to happen is there has to be a change of heart. And we see that in this criminal's expressions. Remember, he went from mocking Jesus to justifying Jesus. He went from saying, oh, you know, if you're the great God, come on down off the cross. But he had a change of heart and he chose grace. You know, this is just like the prodigal son. If you guys remember that parable, the prodigal son is out feeding the pigs and he realized, gosh, I've got nothing. I can't even feed myself. I can't eat this pig slop. I can't even do that. There's nothing I can do to help myself. And at that moment, when he made that realization, his mind turned back to his father. And he said, you know, I remember my father's servants, they have plenty to eat. My father loved me. My father loves them. He feeds them. He provides for them. I'll go back to my father. And when his heart changed, when that change happened, the die was cast. He was going to go back to his father. You remember that speech he had prepared? He said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I've sinned against you and against heaven. Make me like one of your hired servants. Let me work for you. Let me work to earn something from you. So the boy goes back. The father sees him from a long way off, runs to him, falls on him. Boy starts the speech, right? Father, I have sinned. There's number one, recognition of sin. I have sinned against you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Did he get the second part out? No, he didn't. Father cut him off and said, bring the robes, bring the ring, bring the sandals, kill the fatted calf. My son who was lost is now found. The Father God does not want us to work for salvation. Why not? Because then we would boast. We would think, well, you know, I deserve this. I've done such a good job in this life that I deserve to be rewarded with salvation. It takes glory away from God. It's that simple. God created us for His glory. He sent Jesus Christ to redeem us for His glory. And if it took Jesus Christ dying plus something else, we would not give God the entire glory. So we have to have a change of heart. We have to understand that we are beggars. We don't have anything to bring. We simply need to cling to that cross. And the third thing, there must be a confession of Jesus Christ. So look what this thief said. Verse 42. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Romans 10:9 promises us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it takes. It doesn't say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and do good deeds. It doesn't say if you confess with the Lord Jesus Christ and give this much money. It doesn't say if you confess with the Lord Jesus Christ and belong to this church. It says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Very simple message. We make it so complicated, but it's not. So this thief recognized his sinfulness. He had a change of heart, and he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see him use the word Lord, obviously. He says, Lord, remember me. And then he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This shows not only was he going to confess him as Lord, but he was confessing him as Messiah, the anointed one of God, because that is who the Jews believed and still do, will be the ultimate king. Jesus is our king. That was the charge above his cross. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. That is a confession of lordship. It is a confession of salvation. And so what do you think? Most of us would, you know, before we know these verses, we would look at that and go, well, that was nice, but what's going to happen next? And Jesus turned to him and he said, truly. He started off with that word, assuredly or truly, because what he was getting ready to tell him, people back then would not believe and people today do not believe. Verse 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus started off because no one would believe what he was getting ready to say. The scribes and the Pharisees, you all have met them. They were great rule followers. You could not break the law and expect to go to heaven. Well, this man was being killed because all he did was break the law. So Jesus throws out this entire new idea to them, not new to people who knew the Scriptures, but it was radical in that day, and it's radical today. So those of you that grew up with purgatory, believing that there was a place that you could go to fix your sins after you died, that's not anywhere in the Bible. And this verse destroys that concept, because you have a thief guilty of sin in this life. And what did Jesus say to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was sinless, so he wasn't going to this purgatory, was he? Obviously not. So where's that thief going to be? He's going to be with Jesus. And he's going to be with that Jesus today. This is the same word that Jesus offers to you and me when we die today. The moment you close your eyes, the Bible says, absent from this body, present with the Lord. There is no purgatory. Those that believe that cannot justify this verse. They can't explain it. And understand, this thief's restoration was complete. There wasn't anything else he had to do. There's nothing else that we have to do, except do the three hardest things for us in the world. Number one, admit we're sinners. Number two, have a change of heart. And number three, kill our pride and say, God, I need you. Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow your direction. I want to be your possession. I want you to rule my life. I want you to guide my life. Those are hard things to say today. Anybody that's had kids know you can't get people to admit that they're sinners. Did you do that? No, it wasn't me. It was my brother, right? It's what we all do. So it's tough. Even when we get old, we want to shift the blame for things. We need to understand, yes, we're sinners. Yes, we have a way out. We have Jesus Christ. And just think about how clean and how simple this transaction was. This thief goes up there condemned to hell, does nothing except listens to Jesus Christ, watches him, and confesses him. And where's he going now? He went to heaven. And we're going to see him in heaven. Like I say, I hope you give him a hug. That is the purest story of grace that there is. It is unmerited favor, undeserved love, but it is love from God. He loves each and every one of us. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all the people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not whosoever, so long as you've been a good person. Not whosoever, so long as you haven't done some really bad sins. No. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. And that's where we are today. Jesus is making this same offer to you. You see him hanging on the cross. He's hanging on the cross for you. Do you think the thief got that picture? Do you think the thief understood, this man's dying for me? He did by his confession. You know, we read those words and we don't understand all that went into them. But he's confessing him as Lord. He's saying, you're coming into your kingdom. Only the Messiah was going to have this kingdom. The Messiah who was given to die for us. The thief got that picture. And my prayer is that everyone in here has got that picture. And that you all have been willing to confess your sin, that you've had a change of heart, and that you look to Jesus for salvation and you confess him. If you've not done that today, you need to do it. You know, we're going to start our study on death tonight. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed 1 o'clock today. And we simply need to realize that once we pass, we're judged. This thief was smart enough, had been given God's grace enough to realize, I need to fear that judgment because I know what my judgment will be. And instead of doing nothing, instead of continuing on in his ways like the guy on the other side, this thief said, yes, Lord, I will accept your grace. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus didn't turn around and go, no, you've been too bad a guy. no, you got to come down and do some things. I'll work that out for you. He said, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's his promise to you too. You make that prayer, you mean it from the heart, you make that confession, Jesus says, you are guaranteed to be with me in paradise. Nothing can take you out of my hands once you're in them. Y'all remember the old Allstate commercial, you're in good hands with Allstate? You're in much better hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can take you out of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that thief. We thank you for his life. We thank you that he was such an example for us. I pray that each and every person here be brave enough to make the admission that that thief made. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything, God, but I pray that you will remember me in your kingdom. Father, we know that anyone who comes to Jesus Christ through you, you will in no way cast out. I pray that if you're drawing a heart this morning to you that's been resistant, that's been rebellious, that's been mocking, Father, I pray that you would work in that heart, that they would turn, have a change of heart, confess that sin, and then confess you as Lord and Savior and change their eternal destiny. Father, for those of us that are Christians, I pray that you just reinforce the simple message of grace. It costs you everything, but it is so simple, and it is a message that we can share without being all religious, without using any religious words. All we have to do is tell about this dying thief who was saved when he couldn't do anything for himself. Father, I pray that you just keep that thought in our mind, keep that in our heart, so that we know there's nobody too late to experience salvation. There's nobody that's been too bad to experience salvation. Father, they just need to look to you. Pray that you guide each and every heart during this response time, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.